This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Street Cultivation by Sarah Lynn, narrated by Travis Baldry. Chapter 1, Dollar Store Power. Rick reached into his soul and brought forth the power within, in the hopes of convincing someone to beat the snot out of him. There weren't too many likely customers at this time of day, since most had already gone home, but he hoped to catch someone else working late. Maybe some other poor schmuck who couldn't afford to go home at 5 p.m. would be interested in learning the mystic arts and getting a promotion. The House of the Cosmic Fist sat in the middle of a run-down strip mall, stuck in between a ratty nail salon and a half-decent pizza place. It was far from the best lucrum a training school, even just considering the cheap commercialized ones, but it was a job. Given the way his life had been going, Rick would take whatever he could get. While Rick gathered his power into a blue aura around him, he glanced out over the parking lot for likely candidates. A few teenagers ambled past and briefly looked at him, impressed at his feeble aura only because they hadn't really begun to gather lucrum themselves. Only about 5 years younger than him, but they looked like kids. Not a good choice. Likewise, the woman going into the salon, the trucker smoking on the other side of the parking lot, or the man in the business suit flying past. Not likely customers. Then he spotted her. A woman in her 30s pushing a stroller. Parents often needed more lucrum, and judging from her business casual attire, she had picked her kid up from daycare after work. Though she'd be haggard from her job, she was here at the mall instead of just going home to watch TV. Maybe she'd be receptive to his sales pitch. "Awaken your inner strength today at the House of the Cosmic Fist!" The cheesy line made Rick feel like an idiot, but he did whatever worked. Whether you want to increase your lucrum generation rate or solidify your lucrum accord, you can't beat our prices. And we're open 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, so we can fit in a training session whenever it fits your lifestyle. Though the woman looked a bit irritated by the sales pitch, she didn't ignore him or leave. Good enough. Rick turned off the cheese and gave her a normal smile. "I can see that you're busy, ma'am, so just tell me if you're not interested. But I wouldn't have said anything if I didn't think we could help you."
"This isn't one of those shady schools, is it?"
She stopped her stroller nearby and looked through the windows to the cheap mats and equipment inside.
"You're not going to be recommending ether injections or special contracts?"
"Absolutely not, ma'am. We're certified by the Brenton Chamber of Commerce." He tapped the sticker in the corner of the window, but didn't want the woman to be thinking about that. The House of the Cosmic Fist might be certified, but its owner wasn't exactly a model citizen. To distract from that, he bent down to the stroller and stuck out a finger for the baby to grab. "Wow, he's a strong little guy." The woman softened a bit as her son shook Rick's finger and gurgled happily. They made basic small talk for a bit, Rick saying all the usual things about her baby looking healthy and having a strong aura spark already. Polite nonsense. Since she freely offered up her name, which he dutifully memorized, she might be interested. But before too long, the woman folded her arms and regarded the door skeptically.
"I've never been to one of these gyms before. The idea of giving up lucrum in the hope of gaining more, I'd rather just train at home."
"And there's nothing wrong with that," Rick gave his best smile. "But the fact is, no matter how strong you are, there are limits to how much you can develop on your own. Even if you don't need instruction, though we have great instructors here, you'll improve your generation rate much faster sparring with a real partner."
How much do you charge for a month of membership?"
"We have a variety of different plans, and we're actually running a discount right now. Just 75 lucrum or $250 for your first month if you sign up for our most popular package. But I think for a driven mother like you, it can easily pay for itself in just a few months. Imagine if your ether score gets improved and that leads to a promotion at work. You're sitting at a generation rate of maybe 35,000 lucrum?"
"It's rude to ask such things."
But from the way the woman looked away, Rick could tell that she was flattered. In fact, he estimated her lucrum generation rate to be roughly 27,000 lucrum. Having worked in this job since he was in high school, he thought he was pretty good at analyzing even suppressed lucrum, at least for the lower ranks. It was usually a safe bet to flatter potential customers by overestimating their strength, though he held back on buttering her up since she seemed especially skeptical. Eventually, he got her inside and signing a contract. Rick kept his smile on his face the entire time, even when she ended up scheduling her lessons with Danny instead of him. He still got credit for bringing in a new customer, which had been the entire point. Once she was gone, Jimmy sat back and grunted. Rick's boss was a middle-aged man, holding back his receding hairline with Lucrem, but unable to hide the fact that his warrior's body was getting flabbier. Not that it really mattered, given his Lucrem generation rate was far above average. The older man scratched his stomach and scrabbled in the compartments beneath the counter. "Suppose you'll be wanting your bonus right away." "If possible, sir." Rick stayed right next to the counter and stared at him to make sure he wouldn't forget this time. Eventually, Jimmy straightened up and slapped some worn bills and a grimy marble down on the counter. "You're not bad at bringing them in, Rick. I'll give you that." Jimmy stared at him a bit, then shook his head. "But you need to keep better clients. No more pissing off the whales." "I'll keep that in mind, sir." But Rick was barely listening, instead focused on picking up his bonus. He jammed the bills into one pocket, not bothering to count them. Though he needed money to support himself and his sister, no amount of money he'd likely see would make up for his low ether score. For that, he needed Lucrem, which is why he focused on the marble. It was an ugly little sphere, but it contained a small amount of raw Lucrem. Rick gripped the marble in his palm and breathed in, drawing the power into himself. He always imagined it as electrified water, pooling above his head and then trickling down over the systems of power he'd built within his body. They might not be as powerful or complex as those of most warriors, or even a career worker like the new client, but they were thirsty for power. Since there were no new customers, Rick headed away from the entrance. He pulled out his cell phone and rubbed his finger over the built-in sensor, letting it analyze his aura. In the old days, warriors had given themselves mystical titles or measured their progress by colored belts, but the process had long ago been scientifically quantified. Already familiar with him, the app quickly produced the result he'd hoped for. Name: Rick Hunter. Ether tier: 19th. Ether score: 189. Lucrem generation: 15,000. Current Lucrem: 1,037. He winced at the total. His bonus had been 50 Lucrem, so before it, he would have been below 1,000. If he was rich, of course, his current numbers would have been near his generation rate. But given his life, that might as well be a dream. Though he hadn't expected his ether score to change, since the ratings agencies reacted slowly, he was disappointed that his generation rate hadn't received a boost at all. The fact that the app displayed a round number suggested that it thought all of his efforts to work harder were nothing more than a rounding error. Taking a deep breath, Rick tried not to feel sorry for himself. What mattered was that he kept moving forward. He wouldn't be working at the House of the Cosmic Fist forever, not if he worked hard enough. It might not be a true combat sect or a high-end job, but it let him train while supporting himself and his sister. That was more than many had. Before he could spend too much time thinking, the bell on the door rang again. He glanced up and saw that it was Darren, one of their regulars. Actually, one of Henry's regulars, but Henry hadn't shown up when his shift was supposed to start. It looked like Darren was realizing that as well. Though he was middle-aged, Darren didn't look it, with a tall and muscular body. As far as Rick knew, his generation rate was around 55,000 Lucrem, but he had been pooling it for years. Rick wasn't as good with judging Lucrem portfolios, but he knew Darren had a lot. Potentially one of the richer men who still came to their little shop.
"Henry isn't here." Darren looked around and scowled. "I'm paying for private training, so I expect private training."
Jimmy grunted.
"He'll be in later. If you don't want to wait, Rick can take care of you."
"He'll have to do, I guess."
Darren walked out toward the central mats, peeling off his shirt to reveal hulking muscles.
"Get over here and show me what you got, kid."
Not how Rick would have wanted to end the day, but he didn't have a choice. He stepped out to the central mats and nodded politely to Darren. If they had done things traditionally, they would have shaken hands, and some schools copied Asian bowing traditions, but the House of the Cosmic Fist didn't focus on ceremony. Besides, there was nothing ceremonial about what was coming. Darren lunged forward and started with a sweeping haymaker that Rick only managed to duck because he expected it. Being the client, Darren could start however he wanted, but it wasn't exactly a fair move. Rick finished tugging on the thick mitts that would absorb some of the huge lucrum gap between them and raised his hands in defense. Essentially, his job was to serve as a living training dummy. What he'd said to the woman from earlier hadn't been just a sales pitch. Many kinds of lucrum training really did require a living opponent. But as Rick warded off the aggressive punches, feeling numbness spread up his arms, he doubted that this was really about training. No, a man like Darren wanted to feel strong. After a hard day of work, he went to a place like this to beat the crap out of someone. That explained why his lucrum felt so unsophisticated. His power reserves were huge, but they were just a blunt weapon, unlike the sophisticated portfolios of strength controlled by most true warriors. If Darren had obtained his full potential, Rick wouldn't have had a chance of sparring with him. As it was, he was still left exhausted by the time they'd been sparring for a while. Darren finally got tired of striking at the mitts and pulled back. He took a swig from his water bottle, then glanced at Rick.
"You're no Henry, but you'll do. Got any tips for me?"
"You have an impressive pool of lucrum," Rick said. "But you could do a lot more with it if you invested it into a lucor or two. I could suggest..." Pain shot through his jaw, then his back. It was only when Rick was falling to the ground that he realized that Darren had punched him in the face hard enough to send him crashing into the concrete wall of the gym. The raw power of that much lucrum was just overwhelming. But it wasn't the first time. Before he fell, Rick managed to throw out a foot and catch himself, then straighten back to his feet. He raised the mitts defensively and faced Darren's stare.
"Don't lecture me, you little shit. If you're so smart, what are you doing working as a human practice dummy?"
He didn't want an answer to that question, so Rick said nothing. It was stupid of him to have tried to offer advice at all. He should have known Darren wouldn't want it. Yet Darren was a client and much higher tier, so there was nothing he could do. When Darren attacked again, it was with new ferocity. Rick managed to hold his ground, but each time he blocked a punch, pain shot up his arm, even through the mitt. Even his defense seemed to antagonize Darren, who struck aggressively until Rick finally staggered backward and fell onto his side.
"That's what's wrong with kids these days. They think they can waste all their time in places like this, blow any lucrum they get. Get up, you bum!"
Pushing through the ache in his bones, Rick pulled himself upright and prepared for the next attack. He tried to tell himself that it was good training, and it certainly wasn't the first time he'd endured a beating from a customer. But as much work as he'd put into the defensive lucor within him, it was barely worth 5,000 lucrum, nowhere near enough to endure such an assault. The next time he fell back, he dropped, barely catching himself on the mat. Darren stomped closer, but didn't attack, instead taunting him while he struggled back to his feet.
"This is no fairy tale, kid. You're not going to just absorb lucrum out of the air. Not anymore. If you want to become strong, you have to make something of yourself."
Hatred surged through Rick, driving him back to his feet. Darren had no right to say that when he knew nothing about Rick's life. Nothing about his sister, or their absent parents, or all the other factors that left him struggling just to make ends meet. How was he supposed to develop a large lucrema when the power was constantly bled from him? When Darren began to punch again, Rick almost struck back. He might be completely overwhelmed when it came to power, but his opponent only had combat experience against weaker sparring partners. If Rick stepped aside from the next punch, used his opponent's momentum against him, struck the throat, and then the eyes. Across the room, his boss cleared his throat. Rick came back to himself, remembering why he was doing all this. His ego was irrelevant. He needed this job. So all he did was endure the pummeling and try to ignore the lectures about how he should pull himself up by his own magical flying sword. Nothing Darren said really mattered in the end. Since Rick failed to respond, eventually the older man got tired of berating him. After finishing his sparring session, Darren headed out, grumbling under his breath. As soon as he was gone, Rick collapsed onto the bench beside the wall. He just lay there, not even removing the mitts. His fingers hurt too much for that. Jimmy looked up from the counter and seemed like he might be about to say something, but at that moment, the bell rang again.
"What's up, Cosmic Fist?"
Not a customer this time, but Henry. His co-worker looked much too smug for someone coming in 45 minutes late.
"How's it hanging? You late?"
Jimmy didn't even look up, just grunted in Rick's direction.
"He covered for you. I'll take that one out of your pay."
"That's fine, that's fine. Thanks for covering it, Rick."
Henry at least had the decency to shoot him an apologetic smile, but he seemed excited despite their boss's disapproval. He pulled a six-pack out of the bag he was holding and slapped it down on the table.
"Serum is on me today, boys."
The possibility of free serum was enough to get Rick back on his feet. Though the cans in the pack only held a cheap version, and even the best serum didn't truly add to anyone's lucrum, it still helped with recovery from training. He'd discovered that he could do without, but it definitely helped with the aches and pains. When he took a can, he quickly drank the entire thing and went for another. The power flowed through his aching body, both soothing his pains and stimulating the lucrum flowing within him. Meanwhile, Henry still had a smug look on his face, and eventually Jimmy got tired enough of it that he glared at him.
"All right, what is it? Not like you to be generous."
"I can afford to be because of this baby."
Henry pulled up his left shirt sleeve, revealing not just muscular biceps, but what appeared to be a tattoo of a crimson scarab. Though Henry had a couple other tattoos, this one was nothing of the sort.
"I finally got approved for a demonic bond. I'm swimming in lucrum now."
"Huh, congrats."
Jimmy took one of the cans and walked off with it, unimpressed. Henry turned to Rick and grinned.
"Seriously, this thing is amazing."
Rick nodded along, not wanting to ruin Henry's mood.
"How'd you get it? I thought your ether score was getting you rejected before. Did yours improve?"
"Nah, man, there's a new demon clan that wants to establish itself in Branton, or something like that anyway. Point is, they don't just check ether score and reject you. They actually let me plead my case. I guess they liked what they saw because they gave me one hell of a good bond."
"How much?"
"It maxes out at 5,000 lucrum, but the maximum can go higher.
But just the basic bond already bumped me up an entire tier.
Seriously, man, you've got to try them before they get all the people they need."
Though Rick nodded in general agreement, he didn't seriously consider it. Truthfully, he didn't know very much about demonic bonds. Plenty of people got them, even some people who didn't care about fighting and just needed more lucrum to make ends meet. Usually, they had minimum standards, but they were one of the only ways for someone like him to gain considerable power in a short time. Since the two already knew each other, Rick's app could bring up immediate data for Henry. Name: Hendog 69. Pseudonym: Ether Tier 17th. Ether Score 176. Lucrum Generation 21,000. Demonic Bond 5,000. Current Lucrum: Private Data. Just one demonic bond had taken Henry from around 16,000 up to 21,000 lucrum in a matter of hours. It was enough to tempt him to do the same. But according to Uncle Frank, relying on demonic bonds always turned out badly in the end. Considering that his uncle was the only person in their family to make something of himself, Rick generally took his advice when it came to, well, anything. He was certainly a better role model than Rick's parents.
"You look kind of messed up, man."
Henry looked at him seriously.
"Was Darren rough on you? I'm guessing you pissed him off somehow and he did his whole speech about kids these days."
"Yeah."
Rick finished off his second can and shamelessly took a third. "My fault for not realizing his type. You must have a rough time with him."
"Nah, you just gotta know how to work him. But all that rags to riches stuff he says is definitely bullshit."
Henry leaned back against the counter, looking out over the empty gym.
"Nobody gets that strong on hard work alone. For people like us, pretty much our only chance of getting out of the lower tiers is something big. Getting a great birthright core, or getting picked by one of those independent mystics."
"Or getting demonic bonds?"
"Nah, that's just catching up."
Henry frowned down at the scarab.
People with better ether scores just get handed bonds worth 10,000 lucrum or more.
Still, congrats, man.
Not gonna lecture me?
Hey, it's your life and your lucrima. Rick did his best to shrug and not judge. He had enough to worry about taking care of himself.
I'm hoping if I do well enough, they might offer me a second or third bond. But I gotta say, the rush of power is great. I'm on a hot streak, so I should donate a bunch to the Independent Mystics while my luck lasts.
That was definitely throwing his lucrum away, but Rick held his tongue. He didn't need advice from his uncle or anyone else to see that the Independent Mystics were running scams. Over the years, he'd seen plenty of his friends donate thousands of lucrum and get excited over getting a few hundred back when they would have been better off just focusing on their own development. Getting lucky and having a mystic choose you as a pupil could bring great power, sure, but everyone else was trying exactly the same thing. Since no new customers came in, they sat and talked about nothing for a while longer. Eventually, it was the end of his shift, so Rick got up to head home. Due to the serum, his body actually felt fully recovered from Darren's beating. It was a nice change of pace to head home without any aches and pains.
Thanks for the serum, man.
Rick nodded to his coworker, who just waved it off.
No problem. Headed back home?
Yeah, I'll see if I can't get back before it gets too cold.
See you later, then.
But as Rick collected his things, the bell rang again, and three young men pushed into the gym. The hair on the back of Rick's neck immediately stood up as their lucrima surged into the room. Henry felt it as well and stood up with his customer smile.
Evening, gents. Welcome to the House of the Cosmic Fist. We're happy to help if we can, but I don't know if we have any staff around here who can keep up with you.
We're just curious.
The man at the head of the group looked around the gym with undisguised disgust.
This is what the Cosmic Fist is, huh? Show us your best.
Well, since it's late, most of our staff aren't here.
Though Henry tried to reason with them, Rick had already decided that it was pointless. Even if he hadn't been able to feel their power, he could tell that the three weren't here for training. With clothes as nice as theirs, and one of them wearing an ether watch, they were coming to the slummier part of town to cause trouble and blow off steam. Unless he missed his guess, all three were birthrighters. They'd had expensive training from a young age, of course, but that paled in comparison to the birthright cores burning within them. Incredible amounts of power, just handed to them by their parents. Lucrima training was probably just a hobby to them, a way to round out their resumes, or something to do before they took over their parents' companies. Not that it mattered. Each of the young men had a generation rate of at least 100,000, and they planned to use it. Rick set down his things and sighed, realizing that he wasn't going home uninjured after all. Chapter 2. Birthriders. The three birthriders swaggered into the center of the gym, clearly wanting a fight. Rick glanced toward his boss, but the older man simply sat back and pretended to be absorbed in the magazine he was reading. Unless the place got trashed, he didn't care. In fact, for a miserable little school like the House of the Cosmic Fist, any attention at all was good attention.
It's time for my usual sparring match, the leader of the group said. But we found ourselves too far from home. Somebody will have to step up, or it will harm my development.
A feeble reason to beat up someone. But when someone with a generation rate of over 100,000 lucrum spoke, logic tended not to matter so much. Beside him, Rick saw that Henry was moving forward, trying to do things the right way.
We might be able to find someone to spar with you, but since you aren't members, it will be...
The head birthrighter punched Henry in the stomach, instantly folding him in half, then dropped him like trash. Though a real blow from someone with that much strength would have killed, even the light blow must have dealt terrible damage. Henry curled up around his stomach, gritting his teeth to avoid crying out in pain. His whimpering made the birthrighters laugh, and the leader tossed two pearl bars onto his body.
That should cover the fee, shouldn't it?
Rick did his best not to stare at the bars. They could hold far more lucrum than the cheap little marbles that most used to transfer lucrum, perhaps 1,000 or more. Those two bars might be worth more than he was paid in a month. Part of him wanted to grab for them, but he knew that would just invite the birthrighters to mock him. He might be poor, but he had his dignity. Across the room, Jimmy glanced up from the counter.
Yeah, that'll do it. You spar with him, Rick.
One of the birthrighters standing in back laughed.
Funny, that's almost like your nickname.
He hurriedly cut off as the leader glared at him.
Just saying.
It doesn't matter. The leader turned to Rick and gestured for him to step out onto the mat.
To you, I'm Mike. You'd know my family if I mentioned them, but there's no point. I paid good lucrum for the chance to kick someone's ass, so I hope you don't fold right away.
I'll do my best. Rick smiled politely and took his time getting into position, pretending that he needed to stretch. Meanwhile, he actually worked on his lucrima. Though he set aside his phone to prevent it being broken, he knew exactly what it would say about him. Rick Hunter's lucrima portfolio. Foundation, 7,000, level 2. Offensive lucor, 3,000, level 2. Defensive lucor, 5,000, level 3. Total lucrim, 15,000. Normally, his current available power would be divided between the different lucors in proportion to the investments he'd made during training. That wouldn't work now, not against an opponent with over 100,000 lucrim at his disposal. There was nothing he could do to avoid spending almost half of his strength on the foundation that allowed him to fight, but he poured the remaining 53% into his defensive core. It might not be anything special to his opponents, but Rick was proud of his defense. The exact formation of the lucor had been his sister's idea, actually, built to help him avoid serious internal injuries. Lots of people who worked at sparring gyms ended up broken by middle age, and he couldn't afford that. Fueled by all the strength he could muster, it offered Rick a defense much stronger than anyone would expect for someone like him. As Mike pulled off his jacket and let his lucrima aura blaze up around him, Rick wondered if it would be enough. He'd never sparred with anyone who had a generation rate in 6 digits before.
Come on, little man, show me what you've got.
Mike put up his fists and hopped back and forth a few times, inviting an attack. So, Rick punched at his face. Even if the blow had landed, it had nothing more than physical force behind it, so it wouldn't have done any good. But, as he'd expected, Mike didn't give him a chance, slapping his arm aside and then slamming a fist into his ribs. Even though the blow had been pulled, Rick felt pain rush through his entire left side. He wanted to lie down and groan, but forced himself to stay on his feet. The only way through was to endure it. Mike looked surprised that he hadn't fallen down, but only let it stop him for a second. He attacked again, a wild, swiping blow that Rick barely managed to dodge. His opponent kept lashing out, each blow fueled with more power than Rick could generate in an entire day. And that was just a fraction of the power being put out by his birthright core. Seeing one up close, Rick was infuriated by how unfair it was. His fury made his focus waver, and he lost his position. Mike closed on him, furious blows pushing him further and further back until his only choice was to take the next one. Instead of dodging until he failed, Rick chose a blow to endure, raised his arms in a cross before his chest, and let it strike him. Immediately, he slammed into the opposite wall, his arms aching as if they'd broken. The wall was reinforced by ether enchantments for the sort of fights that took place here, yet the force of the blow shook it and made a few cracks expand.
You can take a punch, kid.
Mike grinned and slapped his fist into his palm a few times, even those gestures radiating out more force than Rick's actual attacks could.
But you're not gonna win unless you can hit me.
Obviously, Mike wanted to goad him into a reckless attack, then counter hard enough to drop him. Judging from the way his two friends were snickering, he had done this before. Rick knew he would be seriously injured if he didn't focus on defense, but he also couldn't make it through unless he let Mike get what he wanted somehow. So Rick moved back onto the mat, making a few weak attacks while working to defend against his opponent's brutal blows. What options did he have? Henry wasn't watching the fight, clutching where he had been struck. Jimmy had collected the money and likely wouldn't be any help. He might be able to stop these birthriders, probably even beat all three of them, but he wouldn't do a damn thing. Another blow crunched into his shoulder, and Rick couldn't hold back his grunt at the pain. When his opponent laughed and began a series of weak jabs, he decided to just take them. These blows didn't have the strength to break his arms, so better to let his opponent enjoy landing a lot of blows. Each one of them sent pain shooting through his arms as he desperately tried to defend, but Rick wasn't paying attention to that. Instead, he focused on the defensive Lucor within him. Though it was failing to defend him from the overwhelming power, it was also growing. Lucrema cores grew in strength either from individual training or from interacting with other Lucrema. Faced with such staggering power, the core couldn't help but absorb some of the excess Lucrem thrown against it, adapting to the new challenge. That was the real reason he'd been willing to stand up and get the crap beaten out of him. Losing this fight might earn him more power than months of training. So he endured the barrage of punches and tried to ignore the signs that his body was failing. He let himself forget about his core as well, needing all his attention to avoid taking a devastating blow. Even if it didn't cripple him for life, he might not be able to afford the treatment for a serious internal injury.
"It's over!"
Mike let out a roar and charged at him, swinging in a wild haymaker with huge openings. Before Rick could stop himself, his training took over. He grabbed his opponent's arm as it passed, endured the burning of the other man's aura, and used his own momentum against him. The technique should have slammed his opponent to the floor. Yet, as he tumbled, Mike let out a shout. His aura went from a glow surrounding his body to a raging fire, hitting the floor first and stopping his fall. For a moment, he floated in midair, staring at the floor and realizing that he would have crashed into it. But a moment later, he recovered from his surprise and let out a growl, propelling himself upright on aura alone. He might be a clumsy fighter, but he was no novice. The next blow, fueled by anger, was going to be the worst one. Rick knew he couldn't dodge or his opponent would just get angrier. He needed to let it clip him and hope he could survive the impact, but a leg slammed into the back of his knee and Rick fell. Too late, he realized that one of Mike's friends had gotten behind him. Though he managed to catch himself by landing on his knee, his body ached too much to dodge, much less retaliate.
"We paid you for a sparring match!"
The last of the Birthriders kicked him in the chest, flipping him heels over head. Rick hit the mat painfully, and then the young man put a foot on his chest.
"Where do you get off using tricks?"
"He threw me fair and square."
Mike stomped over to them, his aura fading slightly, but his eyes hateful.
"Step back. We might as well continue this little match."
As soon as his friends retreated, Mike kicked him in the side. Rick couldn't hold back a cry of pain as he was flung across the room. Had one of his ribs cracked? His defensive core had been growing throughout the fight, but it couldn't keep up with this. His opponent lunged after him, raining down blows, and he felt his core beginning to give out entirely. Without it, blows like these would destroy him. Defending effectively was impossible now. It was the most Rick could do to focus on his defenses and keep them intact. And how he could recover from this? No, that was a distraction. All that mattered was Lucrema defense.
"That's your time!"
Abruptly, Jimmy was standing beside them, holding out a fresh towel. It didn't seem like a man of his bulk could move quickly or quietly, but somehow he had crossed the room.
"You won. Congrats."
"Obviously I won."
Mike glared at him, but after a tense pause, accepted the towel and began to wipe off the sweat.
"You need better sparring staff, old man."
"I work with what I got. Thanks for not breaking him."
"I was holding back too much for this to even be fun."
Mike kicked at Rick again, exactly where his ribs were sorest, and Rick barely choked back another grunt of pain. He knew that the smart thing to do was stay down. Tried to tell himself that he was the winner in realistic terms, because he had increased his defensive strength and his opponent had gained nothing. Yet when Mike kicked him, he found himself grabbing the other man's leg and beginning to pull himself up.
"No one has stayed down."
Mike punched him in the chest, and Rick automatically reached up to grab at his wrist. He couldn't stop the blow, but he ended up striking the other man's watch. It was an expensive ether piece, radiating power out in all directions at the impact. The blow knocked Mike back a step. He looked infuriated, but when he moved up for another kick, Jimmy subtly moved into his path.
"You've had your fun, kid."
"He could have broken my watch. My father gave this to me."
Yet, as Mike examined it, his face twisted into a sneer.
"But no harm done. Apparently Rick here isn't even strong enough to damage a watch."
"Yeah, I'll think about replacing him."
Jimmy slowly herded the group toward the door. The three Birthriders hadn't gotten exactly the fight they wanted, but as they looked back at Rick lying on the floor, they seemed satisfied to have shown him his place, which is why he really should have stayed down. Yet Rick found himself struggling back to his feet. His entire body ached. He was pretty sure several of his ribs were broken, and blood from a cut on his forehead was running down into his eyes. But he forced himself up. As he left, he caught a glimpse of Mike staring at him. For just a moment, the Birthrider looked surprised. After that moment, he sneered again and left with his friends, laughing a little too loudly. But Rick had seen the uncertainty in his eyes in that moment. Rick wavered on his feet, trying to feel inside himself to see how his defensive Lucor felt. It felt like pain, but he thought it had improved, possibly enough for it to be rated 4 instead of 3, which would be significant progress. Almost worth the serious injuries. A moment later, Rick collapsed to the ground. Strangely, as he fell unconscious, he heard a woman cry out in dismay, but he was out before he could recognize the voice. Chapter 3. Combat Massage. Rick didn't feel any pain, and that bothered him. He should have been happy to feel only warm and relaxed, yet his mind refused to accept it. Yes, that was right. He had taken a severe beating from that Birthrider. It had broken several of his bones, left him with deep internal bruises, and possibly damaged his Lucrema soul. After all of that, he shouldn't be feeling fine. As he started to put things together, he began to come back to the world. He could feel that he was lying on the mat, though it seemed like someone had put a pillow under his head. Voices talking about what had happened. His boss Jimmy, his co-worker Henry, and Lisa. That explained it. Struggling to sit up, Rick finally managed to open his eyes and saw her. As usual, Lisa wore loose sweatpants and a t-shirt. She was still wearing her jacket, so he couldn't see the shirt, but there was a 99% chance it had an obscure band logo on it. At the moment, she had her blonde hair up in a ponytail, as if she'd come to spar. Even though she'd obviously healed him, and he should have been grateful, Rick found himself a bit irritated by her presence. He would have been gone if the schedule had progressed normally. Was she wanting to spar with someone else? Of all the clients he had, Lisa was the only one he thought liked him more than superficially. When she saw that he was awake, however, she rushed beside him with a look of concern.
"Are you okay, Rick? I did what I could, but you took serious hits from a 6-digit fighter."
"I feel fine. You did a good job."
Rick shook his head and forced himself to look at her.
"But I really can't afford your rates."
"Oh, don't worry about that."
Lisa laughed away the awkwardness.
"You've always done a good job, and I've never tipped you or anything. Besides, I need you in decent shape if we're going to work out, so it's for my benefit, too."
"Right, about that. If not for the incident, I would already have been gone."
Lisa sighed and stuck out her tongue.
"Yeah, I messed up my schedule today, and I was just hoping I might catch you working late. Good thing I did, huh? I'd completely understand if you weren't feeling well enough to spar today, though."
"I can, just give me a bit to get my bearings again."
"No problem. I need some time to warm up anyway."
Rick looked after her for a moment while she went out to the mats and began stretching, then very intentionally looked away. Not that it wasn't a nice sight, but he didn't want to be a creep and Henry would bug him about staring. Besides, he had other matters to take care of before he could go back to work. Based on how he was leaning against the wall, Henry had also been healed of the blow to his stomach. Based on how he was flipping through his magazine again, Jimmy was not going to give any kind of bonus for enduring the beating. Rick might be lucky to get out of this without getting his pay docked for making Jimmy get off his seat and do something.
Glad you're doing okay, man.
Henry gave him a lazy smile.
I was seriously worried there for a bit, but Lisa showed up and helped out.
I'm just glad things were resolved without anyone getting killed.
Rick returned the smile briefly, but then focused on his boss and something much more important.
What happened to the lucrum they left as payment? Since we convinced new clients to come in, we should get part of it as a bonus.
Without looking up, Jimmy grunted sourly and nodded his head toward Henry. The other young man gave him a grin and then dropped the two pearl bars onto the counter.
Don't worry, I made sure he couldn't run off with them. I was thinking you could use them to pay for treatment, but even if you're okay now, I think you still deserve them.
Okay, thanks.
Though Rick was truly grateful, he hesitated to pick them up.
I was thinking that you should have one of them. You did convince them to pay, and you took a hit, too.
Nah, man, I don't need it.
Henry grinned and tapped the tattoo on his arm.
Demonic bond, remember? I have 5,000 lucrum on call whenever I want. Might not have been enough against Birthrighter assholes, but I can afford to be generous.
Then I appreciate it.
Rick swept up both bars quickly, resisting the urge to draw the power into himself. They felt like they had 2,000 lucrum or more within them. He didn't get a windfall like that very often, so he needed to invest them carefully. As he put them with his backpack and the rest of his things, Rick took stock. He still felt a bit fatigued, and he knew his side would ache the next day, but Lisa had managed to heal all the serious damage. That left him in much better shape, so he decided to check his status in the app. Name, Rick Hunter. Ether tier, 19th. Ether score, 189. Lucrum generation, 15,750. Current lucrum, 3,158. Rick Hunter's Lucruma portfolio. Foundation, 7,250, level 2. Offensive lucor, 3,000, level 2. Defensive lucor, 5,500, level 4. Golden lucor, 10, NA. Total lucrum, 15,750. The improvement in his defensive lucor was everything he had hoped for. Not only had its value increased, it had advanced to the fourth rank as well. His defense had already been good, but once it recovered from its encounter with the Birthrighter, it would be a step better. If he could just improve his other cores and make his foundation a bit more efficient, he could punch above his weight. But the golden lucor listed made no sense to him. He'd heard of a few famous schools or fighters that used golden in technique names, but didn't know what this could be referring to. Even weirder, it wasn't included in his total. When he reached inside himself, he certainly didn't feel anything new. It might be a glitch, but he'd never seen one quite like that. Baffled by the development, Rick pulled out his phone and searched a while for some answers. After filtering out irrelevant results, he had basically nothing, not even rumors. Though he wanted to keep searching further, he saw that Lisa had finished warming up and was bouncing on the balls of her feet, waiting for him, so he slid his phone into his backpack and went out to meet her.
"Let's do the basics today," Lisa said. "I just need to loosen up my lucrima after work."
"Frankly, I could use the same thing." She winced.
"Yeah, yours really got pounded. Dense power is good, but believe me, it's just going to cramp if you don't relax it afterwards."
Lisa was actually a massage therapist first and a warrior on the side. She'd realized that unless she could treat lucrima problems as well as muscular ones, she was going to be relegated to scrounging up minor jobs. That had brought her to the House of the Cosmic Fist, where she'd gotten an appetite for sparring, and definitely enjoyed how much the increased power improved her work. To be honest, it probably would have been smart for her to leave them and move elsewhere. He judged her to have a generation rate of around 52,000 lucrum, well above the average client. Yet she kept coming back, and she was a nice client, so he did his best to keep up. Before they began sparring, Lisa suppressed her power down to his level to make things fairer. That didn't reduce the efficiency of the lucors she'd built within herself, though. Even if she didn't hit like a truck, she was incredibly fast, and there was a sharpness to her blows that he couldn't quite match. They traded moves, adopting a grappling style instead of focusing on striking. That made things a bit easier on him, but Rick still found himself struggling to keep up. Unlike clients who just focused on raw power, Lisa had picked up decent skills. Combined with the lucors she continually polished via her work, she was formidable. Normally, he would have forced himself to go longer, but when his side started to ache, he raised a hand to call a halt. Lisa immediately moved closer, examining him in concern.
You all right? Does it feel like you're bleeding internally again?
No, I'm okay.
Rick leaned against the wall and took a few painful breaths. He should have just toughed it out and kept sparring, but getting the crap kicked out of him had soured his mood.
Lisa, why do you keep coming back here? You could get into a better gym.
I tried, actually.
That surprised him enough that he looked up sharply, but Lisa had turned away, redoing her ponytail.
Which ones? He asked.
Nowhere too fancy. I actually got in without any trouble, but I don't know, I didn't feel like I fit in there. Most of their clients have huge Lucrema portfolios and can just throw Lucrema at any problem. The people here know how to focus on skill and train efficiently, and that's what I really need for my work.
Huh. Really? I'd assumed healing would be helped along by bigger Lucrem numbers.
It's not like that.
Lisa turned back, making vague gestures with her hands that didn't clarify anything to him.
Think about it. My top clients already have a ton of Lucrem, usually way more than me. If their stress or injuries could be fixed by flooding Lucrem, they'd have already done it. There are therapists who train to flood even more, but I can't compete with them. My calling card is finesse, and here is still the best place for me to train that.
Rick wasn't good with taking compliments, particularly ones as unusual as that, so he just gestured for them to start sparring again. While they did so, he found himself thinking about what she said. He could feel a tiny bit of pride at his skill, and he was glad she kept coming to the gym, but beyond that, he felt like his skill just didn't matter. Not only could a strong enough opponent just smash through all his skill with raw power, Rick knew that he wasn't truly exceptional when it came to his strengths. His technical skills were decent, but a lot of real warriors were better. Having an offensive and defensive core in his portfolio put him above amateurs, but others had huge portfolios of more advanced cores. And his foundation was sadly inefficient, absorbing just under half of his Lucrem generation. He managed to avoid feeling sorry for himself by focusing on the sparring until he was exhausted. Lisa wasn't sweating that much, but it looked like she'd gotten a decent workout. After getting a drink of water, she pulled her jacket back on and examined the dark sky outside.
"Getting pretty late,"
she said, glancing over at him.
"Sorry for keeping you."
"It's okay. I'll get overtime."
"You live in South Branton, right? I can fly you most of the way there if you want."
Rick shook his head much too quickly.
"Thanks, but I'll pass."
"You sure? It's on my way."
"I appreciate it, but it's good for me to get in a run before the end of the day."
Normally, he wouldn't exercise any more, given how much his body had endured that day, but that wasn't the real reason. Lisa was skilled enough to fly, but she didn't have any Lucrem vehicles or skills that carried others or anything of the sort. He was not going to go back home dangling in the air. He had his dignity. Lisa respected that he wasn't going to take the offer and didn't press on it. Instead, she flashed him a smile, headed out, and vanished into the night sky. Though he needed to get home soon, Rick found himself leaning against the window and staring out into the sky. As usual, when he had made significant Lucrema progress, he was exhausted. Maybe he could afford to hire a taxi back home instead of running. If he was a few tiers higher, he could have used the bus system, but at the moment, public transport was forbidden to him.
"Don't moon over," Henry came up beside him, grinning. "I'm not saying she isn't hot, and she might like you, but it's bad form, man."
"I wasn't."
"Deny it if you want."
Henry leaned back against the window and folded his arms.
"I guess that's another option for those of us who want to get out of the trash tiers. Marry into wealth. I hear there are some great training options for couples that will really increase your growth in a short time."
Though Rick wasn't sure how to respond to that, they were interrupted by a grunt from Jimmy. He didn't look up from his magazine, but he did address them.
"Not worth it, kid. Seems hot when you're young, but you'll regret it in the end."
Henry rolled his eyes.
That sounds like sour grapes, unless there's a Mrs. Jimmy you've been hiding from us.
Jimmy grunted as if considering what to say next, but at that moment Rick's phone rang. He saw that the caller was his sister and answered it quickly.
Hey, sis, you doing okay?
Rick.
Her voice was difficult to hear, and he automatically began grabbing his things while he strained to hear her words.
Are you getting back soon? I was feeling okay this afternoon, but...
He was already out the door, sprinting into the night. Chapter 4. Ether Void. After staying on the line with his sister long enough to confirm that she was stable, Rick jammed his phone into his pocket and put everything he had into sprinting. He was nowhere near as fast as the Lucrama Masters, who blurred through their own lanes, but he was a good bit faster than the average runner, just due to his physical condition. It would have been very dramatic to run all the way back home, but pointless. His goal was just to get away from the suburb his lousy strip mall was in to a busier street where he could find a taxi. He kept his eyes open, but he hadn't spotted any yet. Usually, he didn't even notice the people moving overhead, but now he found himself noticing when one passed by. Not so many in a small city like Branton, but he saw a red streak of aura pass him by overhead, and 5 minutes later a woman passed by in a Lucrama manifestation. It was shaped like one of the early World War III-era planes, which was just pretentious, and he found himself glowering up at it. But he didn't let himself get so distracted that he didn't notice the taxi. Rick hailed it wildly, and fortunately, the driver pulled over for him. He jumped into the back, scrambling for his ID and swiping it through the reader. The driver was an old man who stared at the screen until the information came up. Only once his account and rating information appeared did he look back.
Where to?
1867 5th. Hurry, if you can.
It'll be quite a day when a customer tells me to take my time.
But the old man pulled away and into traffic without any delays, leaving Rick to catch his breath. Usually, he didn't pay much attention to politics, but he was glad that a bill had changed the national ID laws during his last year of high school. It used to be that everyone's tier was printed on their card, which might have prevented him from using some taxis. New government IDs didn't discriminate by Lucrama, though your rating was still relevant for everything else. Sometimes he wondered if it wouldn't have been easier to take a different path. Just take however much lucrum his employer gave him and not worry about fighting, like most people did. If he'd done that, he could have gotten a ride with someone doing ride-sharing, but for someone like him, who had some power but not enough strength to defend it, the risk was too high. But he'd fallen into this path because he was good at sparring in school. His test scores were good, but nothing exceptional, and Uncle Frank had advised him against going into business young. If his parents hadn't been such deadbeats, he might have gotten into a combat sect or a university, but even combining his scholarships with government loans, it just wasn't enough to afford it, which left him working as a human practice dummy in a cheap little strip mall. As they passed the Branton Arena, his eyes couldn't help but wander over it. There had been a time when he'd thought about being a professional fighter, though the truth was that less than 1% of all fighters had a shot at going pro. Once, he'd enjoyed watching the matches and picking up what he could, but now it was too depressing. Sure, the fighters in the professional leagues were all brilliant and dedicated to their craft, but they also had truckloads of potions, steroids, and alchemy to boost their Lucrama portfolios. Competing on that level wasn't even a dream at this point. When the taxi began slowing down, Rick immediately jerked from his distracted thoughts. He peered forward and saw that they were entering heavier traffic, and it looked like everything had jammed at the intersection ahead. If they had turned sharply, they might have avoided it, but the driver was already getting locked into traffic.
This is close enough.
Rick glanced at the meter and hastily tugged several bills from his pocket. He wasn't rich enough to just throw them and tell the driver to keep the change, but he rounded to the nearest dollar and handed over the wad.
Thanks.
With that, he hopped out of the taxi and darted ahead of the slowing cars to the sidewalk. It was only a few streets now, so he sprinted the rest of the way to Fifth. Of course, their house was quite a few more blocks down from the main streets, but the taxi ride had let him rest, so he took them at top speed. Rick and his sister lived on the third floor of an apartment complex that made the strip mall where he worked look positively upscale. No ambulance in the parking lot, which was a good sign. No police cars either, which meant the meth dealers and the power junkies were still doing good business from the other side. He took the stairs three at a time and practically tore open the door to their apartment.
Sis, you doing okay?
When he didn't get a response, Rick rushed inside, barely remembering to lock the door. No one in the living room, television off. He checked the bathroom was empty before opening the only other door to his sister's room. For a moment, he thought she was missing entirely. Then he saw her. Melissa lay on the floor off the side of the bed, eyes closed but shivering intensely. It looked as though she had reached for something on the nightstand and fallen. Her long hair, a shade lighter brown than his, fanned out over the carpet. She changed out of her school clothes to more comfortable ones, but her glasses lay several feet from her.
You okay, sis?
Rick bent down and lifted her in his arms, placing her more comfortably on the bed. She didn't answer, though she shivered less intensely at his touch. This one was serious. Rick got out his phone and flipped to check on her. Not with the cheap combat app he used for himself, but a medical app with a Lucrum subscription. He gently settled the sensor against her forehead, letting it take a reading and then checking the results. Melissa Hunter, Lucrum Generation, 3114. Current Lucrum, 19. Ether Void, -2487. He winced at the numbers. Things hadn't been this bad in months. Rick stroked the hair out of her face while he grabbed the bottle of pills she had been reaching for. The normal dosage was one, but the instructions said that she could take two in an emergency. Even if she'd already taken one that day, this qualified as an emergency. Thankfully, she didn't struggle when he fed her the pills, swallowing them easily. He felt one of her hands grip his arm, and a moment later, her eyes fluttered open.
Rick,
she gave him a weak smile.
Sorry to worry you.
You're going to be fine, Melissa. Did anything bring on this attack?
No, normal day.
Her eyes were already beginning to fall closed again, so Rick decided that he didn't have a choice. He carefully removed the two pearl bars from his backpack and drained the lucrum from them. In an ideal world, he would have absorbed the energy himself and used it to increase his strength. But compared to his sister's life, that didn't seem so important. Rick set up a stream of power into her body, where it gently washed through her before it disappeared. It wasn't absorbed into her body. The power simply disappeared into a void. Melissa had a rare condition that left her lucrum a foundation with a hole that constantly drained her. Though her generation rate was above average for a girl her age, in practice she never had that much strength. With medication, she could live a normal life, but occasionally the ether void would grow more intense and drain all her strength. If the ether void number ever rose above her generation rate, death was certain. Not if she had been in a proper medical facility, of course. If they had been part of a major sect or been wealthy enough, there were a variety of effective treatments. From what Rick had read online, rich people with the same condition could lead normal lives, and some of them even fought competitively. Those weren't options for them. When he had drained away enough of his new lucrum, Melissa finally stabilized. That left him with only about 500 lucrum from his unexpected windfall, but he just felt lucky that he'd had it. Without that, he would have needed to drain his own lucrum into her, which wouldn't have completely reversed the fit and would have left him too exhausted to care for her. Instead, he could see a bit of strength returning to her. His sister had always been ghostly pale, and her body was much too thin, but she stopped shivering. When she next opened her eyes, there was a bit of a spark in them again.
Hey, Rick.
She smiled up at him gently.
Sorry to worry you again.
No, I should have been home earlier. I ran into some problems.
Really? Bad client?
Not exactly. Believe it or not, a group of three birthrighters came into the gym to pick a fight.
Oh my gosh, really?
Melissa sat up, a big silly grin on her face. Seeing her expression was a huge relief, and the tension finally drained out of him.
Like in an 80s movie or something?
A bit,
though they didn't challenge us or threaten to close down the local martial arts school unless we could raise a specific amount of money. No, those were problems that had easy solutions, whereas this was just mundane cruelty. He kept all of that off his face. Anyway, one of them beat me pretty good, but Lisa showed up and healed me. So I actually came out of it 500 lucrum richer, plus it helped my defensive core.
Wow, your day was a lot more eventful than mine. I had a normal day at school, and I was just going to veg out for the rest of the night. And before you ask, I already finished my homework.
Melissa hopped up to go to the living room, and though his instincts wanted her to stay in bed, he suppressed them. Now that the incident had passed and her lucrima had stabilized, she was essentially healthy. Forcing her to stay in bed would only push her toward depressing thoughts, so he just followed her out. They sat on the couch and watched bad television, cracking old jokes that weren't funny to anyone else. For the first time in almost the entire day, Rick was truly able to relax. Given how rough things had been, he really needed it. But as soon as he felt his lucrima regain a placid calm, he began his usual training exercises. They were nothing elaborate, just simple meditations he could repeat while watching TV, but he practiced them religiously. In fact, he couldn't remember the last time he had missed them, if he didn't count the one time he'd fallen unconscious at work and lost an entire day. Such work wouldn't revolutionize his life, but he was slowly and surely increasing his lucrum generation rate. He didn't have a choice, not if he wanted to support his sister, much less ever make anything of himself. For the thousandth time, he considered applying for a demonic bond or taking bigger risks for greater profits. But the truth was, given his life, a single major failure could ruin him, and that would ruin his sister's life as well.
God, that guy is such a mallard head.
Melissa's joke was interrupted by a loud yawn.
Wow, I am way sleepier than I thought. Will you be okay without me if I turn in early?
I don't know, sis. Without your guidance, I might end up jamming meth into my eyeballs.
Don't do that, you dummy.
She hit him in the shoulder playfully.
You have to smoke the meth.
Wow, really? You're such a good role model.
And don't forget it.
Melissa wandered into the bathroom to brush her teeth and get ready for bed, leaving him alone on the couch. Watching TV was boring without her, and he'd already finished his exercises, so Rick instead began doing some more research on what this golden core in his profile might be. But despite his best efforts, he didn't end up learning anything useful. He might need to ask someone about it, and the problem there was always finding someone he could actually trust. If only his uncle was taking calls at the moment.
Oh, by the way.
Melissa poked her head out of the bathroom door.
I grabbed the mail on my way home, and it's all on the little table. I threw out the junk, but I wasn't sure about those ether course flyers. Anything that might be useful to you?
Nah, those are almost all scams.
I figured, but I kept them just in case. Anyway, other than the bill, the only other letter is a big sealed one. It had your name on it, so I left it alone.
Thanks, sis. Rick forced himself to get off the couch and walked over to the little table, which was also the only table. Another running joke that wasn't really funny, just a comfortable habit. There he brushed aside the useless flyers promising instant power, glanced at the bill, and then examined the big sealed envelope. Immediately, his relaxed mood evaporated, and he tore it open. The return address was for the legal agency that handled everything related to their parents. There'd been a time when he'd hoped their parents would come back, but ever since his mother had abandoned Melissa, he'd given up on that. He'd expected that he wouldn't hear from them again until they died, unless they ended up calling to try to make bail. So he wasn't sure how to feel when he learned that his parents were dead. Rick read the simple sentences several times, trying to glean more significant information from them. It sounded like it had been illegal fighting, no doubt undertaken for more drug money. The letter danced around the subject, but that kind of thing happened often enough that he could read between the lines. It had actually happened several days ago. It had just taken until now for the authorities to take care of the details. Now, Rick needed to go take care of his parents' effects. The letter claimed they left him a birthright core, but he doubted it could be much of anything. More likely, there was a small amount of compensation based on how they'd died. He'd take it. Still, he found himself wondering. The meeting wasn't for 3 days, yet he couldn't put it out of his mind as he wished Melissa good night, brushed his teeth, and lay down on the couch to sleep. Had his parents left him some sort of core? He told himself that it was probably nothing, and he'd find out soon enough, but it was still difficult to get to sleep. Chapter 5. Liquor Store Power-Up. The meeting with the attorneys was on Friday, so Rick spent all his time before then training. In theory, whatever his parents had left him would probably dwarf the small gains he could make in that time, but he felt that he needed to be prepared. Even when it came to inheritance, dealing with lawyers always made him nervous. That was what came from growing up having to pick up his parents from the local jail. They were dead now, though. Even 2 days later, that thought still stopped him. It wasn't like they had been close, or ever been real parents to him. Melissa hadn't even cried when he'd told her, just sat quietly for a while. But even absent, they had still been a part of his life that was now entirely gone. Rick pushed such thoughts aside and focused on training. On Wednesday, he threw himself into sparring with all his clients, dusting off his own skills. He'd had Thursday off anyway, so he asked his boss for Friday off as well. There was a lot of grumbling, and he had to reschedule with Lisa, but in the end, he was allowed to use one of his vacation days. That meant he could attend the official meeting and see what his parents had left him. Before that, he needed to use the last days before the meeting to finish preparing. Since Melissa had been in good health since then, as she usually was for a while after an incident, he decided that he could afford to invest his lucrum, which meant he was going to the liquor store. As he walked down the weed-covered sidewalk, Rick checked his status again. Name, Rick Hunter. Ether tier, 19th. Ether score, 196. Lucrum generation, 15,950. Current lucrum, 12,378. Rick Hunter's Lucrima portfolio. Foundation, 7,300, level 2. Offensive Lucor, 3,100, level 2. Defensive Lucor, 5,550, level 4. Golden Lucor, 10, N.A. Total Lucrim, 15,950. Not a bad improvement, mostly working through the aftermath of the big fight. That amount would be overwhelmed by what he could purchase that day, though. Maybe in the old days it was possible for lone warriors to become powerful by meditating alone, but today you needed money and lucrum, no matter what you did. Most likely, even the old days had been similar, though, and the easy routes to power were just fairy tales. He had gotten his paycheck on Wednesday and spent a good chunk of it absorbing lucrum, which had raised him near his generation limit. It wasn't often that he was close, usually needing to spend lucrum on other things, so he enjoyed overflowing with power for once. But if all went well, he'd be in much better shape for the meeting with the lawyers. Finally, Rick arrived at the liquor store, stepping over a man lying in a training stupor. A bottle that had once held something potent